This podcast is shared for the purposes of information only. The discussion does not reflect a direct or implied endorsement by Municipal World or its members.
Hello, and thanks for tuning in. For Municipal World, I'm Scott Fokey. This is the MW Shares podcast, where we share the stories of communities from coast to coast to coast. These are the stories of local government, celebrations of success, the sharing of lessons learned, the cautionary tales, and the keen insights into what lies ahead for municipalities.
Hello, and thanks for joining us for another episode of MW Shares. Today I'm being joined by the mayor of Halifax, Mike Savage. Mike was elected mayor of Halifax for a third term on October 17, 2020. He's followed a mandate to grow the economy, foster greater social and economic inclusion, and promote a healthy, sustainable environment. Mike also serves as the chair of FCM's Big City Mayors Caucus. Prior to his election, he served three terms as Member of Parliament for Dartmouth Coal Harbour. Mike and I are going to be talking about the challenges of homelessness and Halifax's efforts to help serve a growing number of people experiencing homelessness. Welcome, Mayor Savage.
How you doing? Pleasure to be with you.
Doing great. Thanks for taking time out of your busy day to talk with us. It's a crucial issue we're going to talk about today, and I know the city's done a number of things. You know, my understanding is that there are currently 600 or so unhoused people in Halifax, and the city has about 200 shelter beds. Is this an accurate portrayal of the challenges in front of you and council?
Well, certainly there's a large number of unhoused people. The number changes all the time, and it depends whether you're referring to people who are camping on public land. It wouldn't be anywhere near 600, but there are people who are couch surfing. There are also many people who are what you might call the hidden homeless, who are have been for some time camping in woods and places like that. But certainly, there's a number of people, a growing number of people who have been homeless, certainly through COVID and as the city has grown. We don't have the mandate here for homelessness. That's the province. But the province have been very active on this as well in the last little while. So the exact numbers are hard to tell, but I think the trend is very clear that we have more people who are homeless, more people who need shelter in a variety of ways, transitional shelter beds, and then some people who simply can't accept living in an area with a roof, and who the only option is to live outside or in tents or sheds. So it is a very big issue. It's a big issue for every city.
I want to talk about those trends and the increase in number for a second. What issues have led to an increase in the number of individuals experiencing homelessness in Halifax, to your knowledge?
You know, we're one of the fastest growing cities in the country. And, you know, you mentioned I was a member of parliament. I remember we did a big study. I was on the Human Resources Committee. We did a big study on poverty and beginning in 2008, I think, and finishing in 2010. And we visited at that time Calgary, which was a very successful city, but it had a huge homeless population because people gather in growing cities. And a lot of people aren't able to access the kind of jobs and opportunities and consequently housing that they would have expected. So being a growing city is certainly part of it. Having come through COVID in the last couple of years, I always say COVID didn't so much create new issues as it did highlight them. And certainly we saw during COVID the number of people who were homeless increasing, and it's happening in Toronto, Vancouver, it's happening in Charlottetown, it's happening in Cape Breton, it's happening in Fredericton, and so it's a big issue. We have a very, very low rental vacancy rate in Halifax, and this time of year, as students are flocking into Halifax to get ready for the school year, it becomes even more of an acute problem. So I think, the issue of being a growing city, COVID, people have kind of been, in a lot of cases, pushed to the lowest rung of housing. And we've also, as is the case in some other cities, we've seen some affordable units have been renovated for more rent. And so that certainly hasn't helped the problem.
The city took a bit of an exceptional step to kind of deal with this issue, and you designated four parks as outdoor sheltering locations. What, if any, services exist in these locations?
So these locations have got portable toilets. They have potable water, garbage disposal, storage boxes for people to put their facilities in. You know, boxes for needles and things like that to be disposed. And it was as a result of, I think we're all adjusting as we go and recognizing that while we think we've done a lot and that we're all very open-minded people who are trying to take a human rights approach to this, we have to continually sort of stretch our imagination. And so we recognize that there are people who are going to live unhoused in the city, in public land. Usually it's in parks which are municipal. So we said, if that's the case, then let's try to put them in places that best serve them, but also recognize that best serve neighborhoods as well. So generally, we've identified a series of criteria, you know, not immediately adjacent to schools, to playgrounds. You know, trying to maintain recreation for all citizens in public spaces. And we came up with four locations, and it's very likely that we will need more. And we're open to looking at creating more of these spots where people can go and pitch their tent and have the services they need to have at least some level of dignity.
And I can understand that, you know, it's a very delicate balancing act between other residents who want to use those facilities and those people experiencing homelessness. And I know that's a tricky issue for the city. And I think, you know, one of the touch points that's come up this summer has been Meagher Park near the city's downtown, which wasn't on the list, is my understanding. So you may have answered that in terms of the criterion, but are there any other reasons why that park wasn't on the list?
You know, Mark, it's a small park that directly abuts residential properties. It's very close to schools, particularly a school. It's on a school route. It's actually pronounced Mar Park. It's named after Nick Marr, who's a former alderman in the city of Halifax before amalgamation. And it became a flashpoint, not just from people who might not like to see people living in poverty, but from neighbors who, in a lot of cases, were very supportive of the people who were there. But it became really an infested site. We had rats there. And the concern is that it wasn't in the best health and safety either for the residents of the park or for the residents of the community. A lot of calls from police and fire. And I think a lot of us, ourselves certainly, but also a number of people who provide service to people who are unhoused, just said this has become such a focus of attention that if we can actually move to some of these other locations, we can all focus on better solutions. And what I never want is for there to be unnecessary anger between people who are unhoused and people who are housed. That's not helpful if we can avoid it, but you can't just turn a blind eye to the problem. So we had to come up with these other solutions. We did. You know, this will give us a chance now to go into Mar Park and to rejuvenate it, to make sure that everybody, you know, there's a lot of families who had their kids at Mar Park. There's a lot of seniors who wandered through there. And so we want to make it a park for everybody, but also recognize that there are people who are legitimately unhoused and we all have an obligation to find better conditions for them.
You know, I know earlier in our discussion, you mentioned that, you know, this is a provincial issue primarily. But the city does have a fairly extensive number of resources on a section of its website just dedicated to this particular issue. And I want to read something from that section of the website. And it says, the municipality's response to homeless encampments is collaborative and community-based. So what does this mean in practice?
Well, that's a great question, you know, because it was a year ago, August the 18th of last year, that we went in and closed a number of areas where people were sleeping rough in tents in the city. And a number of service providers, in other words, organizations who work with people who are unhoused, were pretty ticked off at us. We thought that everybody had been given another option as to where they could go. And certainly it became evident very quickly that had not been the case. We have to work with these community service providers. We have to work with agencies, whether they're large agencies who do amazing work like United Way. In our own community, we have the Y, we have the North End Health Center, Adsum House. We have the Mi'kmaq Native Friendship Center. We have a number of what we call service providers who work with the unhoused. And if we're not working with them, then we're not working at peak efficiency. So we have to work with them. We also have to recognize that the provincial government have the mandate for housing and in most cases housing. We obviously have zoning permitting. But on homelessness, they are the sort of rights holder of that issue. But and in this province, governments of all stripes have not invested in affordable housing or homelessness initiatives to the extent they should. It hasn't been the crisis that it has become. So, you know, I get why. This provincial government we've been working closely with, and I think effectively with, we appreciate very much a number of the initiatives that they've taken. Because if we in the province aren't working together, then we have no hope of working with community service providers and also listening to the first voice of those who have been unhoused or continue to be unhoused and have a lot of valuable information to offer. So it's really important on this issue that we work together. And sometimes it means, you know, that you have to do things you wouldn't normally do. We would not normally say that we would provide municipal land for people to live. But I think we all have to recognize that this is a huge problem. Mm-hmm. And if we handle it correctly, then it could turn into an opportunity for individuals who are unhoused and also for the community. If we don't handle it correctly, this is not a problem that's going to go away. It will only get worse. And I want to be the mayor of a city where there is nobody who's homeless. But I think a lot of mayors want that. And right now we all have to accept the fact that there are people who are homeless. We have to do everything we can to provide the quality of life to them that we would expect if it was our son or our daughter or our mother or our father. And so nobody chooses to be homeless. So we all have to work together.
I want to talk about another one of those exceptional steps that the city has taken, which was building a number of modular housing units as emergency housing in two separate locations. Can you tell us why you took this step and how is it working?
Yeah, you know what? It was a very big step for us as a city because, as you will know, no order of government really likes to take on the financial responsibility for an issue that they don't see as their own, because we have lots of things we need to spend money on, roads and parks and clearing snow and those sorts of things. But I really believe that on a number of issues, housing first and foremost, we all have a role to play. So we had people who were unhoused living on city land, and we said, okay, if we put our money where our mouth is and we found these units, modular units, think of them as the kind of place that, you know, construction sites will use to house people who are working in remote locations. We tried to find used ones. That didn't work. So we bought new ones, moved them to Halifax area. We set up 26 of them on the Dartmouth side of the harbor, including some accessible units. And we set up 38 in Halifax. And so these, and we have a service provider that the province have provided, who provide the service, the wraparound service that people who are unhoused or underhoused need. So that's, you know, that's for us, it was a pretty significant investment. It was between $4 and $5 million. But city council, you know, I wouldn't say they didn't flinch, but council said, we're going to take this on. So we've done that. And they're good units. You know, they're climate controlled. Each unit is private. It has a private bed. It has a place for people to sit and think or read or work or do whatever they need to do. So we provide, we paid for them. We bought them in. We provide, you know, security and garbage and all that sort of stuff. The provincial government provide the wraparound services that use a service provider. And so that's really helpful. And I think, you know, it's been really important that as a city, we financially stepped forward and said, we're going to do this. And we couldn't have done it without the provincial government doing the wraparound service. We don't have a housing department. We've hired a number of people in the last year to work on this issue, But we've worked with the provincial government and the service provider. And I think it's, from my point of view, I think it's been a good investment.
What other steps has the city undertaken to help tackle this issue?
You know, for a number of years, we've been saying as a city that we need to do more in affordable housing. So, for example, we've given land to not-for-profits, and we're going to do more of that. So, as an example, there was three parcels of land in Dartmouth that we worked with the Affordable Housing Association of Nova Scotia and others. And we provided the land under the condition that the units be affordable, deeply affordable housing. We have waived permit fees, development fees for housing that will be used for affordable housing. One of the really good initiatives that the federal government have done, and I got to give the feds credit here as well, the Rapid Housing Initiative is a program that has been designed to give money directly to municipalities to build housing quickly. So we've had two rounds of that, and that's been able to provide 130 some units of really important housing for people that need that. And the feds have indicated there'll be another round of rapid housing. And one of the projects that we've done is to buy a motel on the Dartmouth side. The province have contributed, we've contributed. We're working with the North End Community Health Center and other providers. There have been private sector support to that, so we can take that whole, that was probably almost a year ago that was funded, and that will provide 60 or 70 units of deeply affordable housing for people, some of whom have very high acuity and high needs. So, you know, those are some of the things that that we've done and been working on for a while. As I've indicated, you know, provincial governments haven't stepped up as much as they should. We're very appreciative of the work that the provincial government is doing with us on these now. I don't think it's a secret that when Mar Park became an issue last year, they actually went out and purchased a facility and put some folks directly in there. So I've sensed a real willingness to, you know, to work, you know, with these. One of the challenges, of course, even beyond homelessness, is that with rising interest rates, with the lack of labor, supply chain issues, all kinds of projects are being delayed. And I think it was John Tory who I first heard say that affordable housing to build is becoming very unaffordable. It really hits affordable housing when costs go up, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60%. So the federal government has a role to play, and I think the Rapid Housing Initiative has been very successful. Certainly for us, it's been very helpful.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear that. And, you know, it's obviously in your tone of your voice and the nature of your answers that you've really thought a lot about this and struggled with this particular issue. And, you know, homelessness is a very difficult challenge for municipalities. It's often described as a wicked issue that kind of resists single agency solutions because it requires, you know, that large ongoing investment of resources that you mentioned, which few organizations can sustain. I'm interested, what have you personally learned from trying to lead the city's response on this issue?
Yeah, so that's, you know, that's something we have all thought a lot about. I've talked to a lot of mayors about this. I've talked to other officials about this. I've talked to, we have an amazing staff here in the Halifax Regional Municipality who have been working at the ground level with people. And what are the lessons, right? So if we haven't learned lessons over the past couple of years, then that's a huge wasted opportunity. And I think the most important lesson to learn is that if we don't have the answers, all of the answers, that doesn't mean that you stop trying. Every order of government, community sector, private sector, all have to be part of this solution. I personally believe housing is a human right. But in some cases, it's so difficult. There's some people that just need a house or housing, and that will set them on their way. There are other people who have mental health issues, addiction issues, or have a history of mental health issues that just make it very difficult for them to be housed in normal circumstances. So we need supportive options as well in those cases. You can't just, you know, expect that you could take everybody who's unhoused, provide them with an apartment, and expect that they're going to be on their way. There are people who are banned from shelters. There are people who can't go into hotels. You know, we've had a lot of people going use hotels as a temporary solution. And hotels are private businesses. They have a business to run. And in a lot of, they can't accept people in their facility that disrupt the course of their business either. So to be realistic about it, we need support. So the bottom line, and I think, you know, what we've learned, number one is we all have to be open-minded. Number two, we have to work together, figure out who has the answers. It's not about, for me, so much who has the jurisdiction. It's about who has the answers, who can help, who can pitch in. And we all have a role in this. And it is tough. It's the toughest issue I've faced as mayor. We've had a number of things that have, you know, been personally difficult for me to watch and deal with. The way First Nations have been dealt with, the history of systemic racism in Halifax against people of African descent. There's a lot of things, but this is the issue, because without a house, nothing's possible. Without a roof, you can't have a life. So we need to try to understand this together, work on it together, as much as possible for politicians, put our egos aside and recognize that we all have something to offer, and try to provide more opportunities for people who have been shut out of opportunities. And I'm hopeful, but it is a bit of a long process.
I'm glad you're fighting the good fight, Mayor Savage, and thanks for taking the time out of your busy day to talk with us.
It's a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you very much.
And thanks to all of you for listening. Be sure to check out What's on First Base in the Municipal World Bookshop. Gordon McIntosh provides a how-to guide for working from emerging matters to valid priorities, with examples that will help enhance priority setting at any level. On behalf of Municipal World, I wish you peace and purpose.
We'd like to hear your ideas. If you have a topic that you would like to see covered in a future episode, simply drop us an email at stories@municipalworld.com. Also, don't forget to share and subscribe.